So we're taking up again reading Shri Bhagavatamrita, first part, chapter 7, Purna, the complete perfection. Krishna is in New Vrindavan, which is in Dwarka, and he's participating unknowingly at this point in a drama being directed by Lord Brahma, the help of Balaram and Rohini, and the New Vrindavan garden that had been created by Vishvakarma, where everything was duplicated, of course, except for the Brajvasis. There were dioramas or deities that appeared to be like the Brajvasis, but they couldn't be like the Brajvasis. But everything else was very like Braj, like Vrindavan. Therefore, it's called New Vrindavan. So, and Krishna was taken there, had been taken there, in a state of ecstasy, which had caused him to lose consciousness. So he was not conscious when he got there. So Balaram dressed him up like cowherd boy, and himself also, and then proceeded to, watch while Krishna woke up and began to interact with these deities that were stationed in different places by Vishvakarma. And of course, these deities were stationed by Vishvakarma in a way that they would resemble where the devotees would be at different, in the morning especially. So when Krishna woke up, he had an exchange with his mother and father, and he had an exchange with Rohini and then Lord Balaram went ahead because he may want you to translate. Do you want him to translate? It's okay? Yeah, maybe better you translate. And so Balaram went ahead because the natural thing for Krishna to do at that time was to go out. He had gotten up late and it was time for him to go out and herd the cows with his cowherd boyfriends. And so Balaram went ahead in order to precipitate, in order to make it seem like he had to hurry. And that way Krishna wouldn't spend too much time with these dioramas and have time to realize that they were not actually the Brajvasis. So he went ahead also for the other reason, and that was that, you know, the dioramas of the gopis were grouped, you know, between where Krishna got up and where he had to go to the forest. So he, first group of gopis that he met was the Chandravali, and now he's going to meet with Srimati Radharani and her friends. We'll start there, text 41. Srinandanandana uvacha praneshwari rahapratam bhaktam ekaninam chamam sabhashase katam nadya takyam vithasimani. Sri Nandanandana said, "O mistress of my soul, why don't you speak to me? Your devotee, whom you've now met in a secret place. What are you so busy with, my proud lady?" Text 42. Apadadam mayakim te nunam gyatam ahotvaya sarvagye jandana sapna ritam tatthan mamakilam. How did I offend you, O omniscient one? You must know everything that happened today in my dream. Commentary. Digdarshini. There was no other evident reason for Srimati Radharani's being angry with him, at him. So Krishna concluded she must have been upset because of his dream that morning. She must have had the mystic power of knowing everything, past, present, and future, including what he had dreamed, what he had revealed to his mother about his dream, and what he was going to say to Sri Radha about it. Krishna began presenting these thoughts to Srimati Radharani, hoping to divert her from her anger. He was not put off by her standing silent like a statue, because in the past his girlfriends in Braj had acted like this many times when the excessive ecstasy of love for him had left them stunned. They often reacted this way to his joking words when shocked by the strength of his wit. And in his present unusual mood, he could easily imagine that Sri Radha was refusing to speak to him because she was angry. Tvam vihayan yato ghatva vivaha bhava kritaha tasam chitipa putrinam udyatanam mritim priti puttu pautra dayastatra janita dudabartina. I left you and went elsewhere. In that distant place I married many princesses who had been preparing to end their lives, and I fathered sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons. Commentary. Krishna rescued the 16,000 princesses kidnapped by Bhumasura, but they could not simply thank Krishna and return to their families. Since they had already stayed in a man's house, no respectable prince would ever marry them. Only Krishna could save them from a shame they could otherwise end only by suicide. And only he could marry them all. So, of course, this, now we've come to the level of relationship in Vrindavan, which is exalted by all the acharyas, by all the authorities, as being most elevated, most intimate, most, and therefore most dear to Krishna, the relationship he has with the Braja Devis in Vrindavan. This is an extremely deep subject, one which I'm hardly qualified to comment on at all what to speak of in the time we have in a class like such as this. But some points are coming out here that are very fairly clear in the commentary, and I'll try to say something about them. He's addressing Radharani in a certain way. You know, he's speaking to her and she's standing there, you know, because she's a Dhyanrama, she's not really Radharani. But many times in the day-to-day dealings with Krishna in Braj, the residents of Braj would become overwhelmed by different feelings when they dealt with him. Because he was so charming in every way, he was so attractive in every way, therefore he is called Krishna, all attractive. And with each person, you know, there are divisions of relationship, you know. There's four generic rasas, you know, dasya, prominent in Braj, you know, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. Servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. But within those divisions, there are many divisions. And ultimately, it comes down to each individual person. Each individual devotee has an individual relationship with Krishna. And the perfection of devotional service is to find out who you are with Krishna and to render the service that is your natural service. And the exchange that goes on between a devotee and Krishna on that level is unique. Even though we may talk about, you know, general groups of devotees and the way they exchange and the moods that they're in and the kinds of things that go on, still, each individual devotee has an individual, in a sense, rasa or relationship with Krishna. And it's unique. It cannot be duplicated. Especially these personalities who are the eternal associates of Krishna. These personalities that are being mentioned here are the eternal associates of Krishna. And they are not ordinary living beings. They are not jiva souls who, you know, fell away from Krishna and then came back to Krishna. They're not even nijasiddha souls. These are special personalities that are actually expansions of Krishna's various internal energies. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described in the fourth chapter that Srimati Radharani and Krishna are actually one soul in two bodies, two forms. There's one soul. And Krishna's playing with Srimati Radharani is likened by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to like a child playing with his own reflection in the mirror. Sometimes the mundane moralists criticize Krishna for his relationship with the gopis, which is a parakya, ras, mood, paramour, love, which is condemned morally in the material world. But the acharyas point out that, you know, these are not ordinary personalities. This is not ordinary love. It's not ordinary mundane love. And those personalities who try to imitate Krishna without qualification, who try to take on the roles of these personalities with Krishna, they are not different than the Mayavads who try to become one with Krishna, who try to take the position of Krishna with their impersonal philosophy. It's the same. It's tantamount to the trying to become Radharani or Lalita or Sridhar or Nanda or Yashoda or any of the eternal associates of Krishna who have eternal designations in those relationships with Krishna is the same as the Mayavadis who try to become Krishna. To try to become one of the liberated associates of Krishna is not different than trying to become Krishna. So we should always keep this in mind when we're hearing about these particularly elevated pastimes, because the purpose of this whole book, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, is to find out or to establish who has received the most mercy from Krishna, who is the most confidential, who are the most confidential devotees of Krishna. And of course the conclusion that will be reached in this chapter is that the gopis are the most dear to Krishna and they have received the most mercy of Krishna, and particularly Srimati Radharani is the emblem of the most dear devotee of Krishna. So the thing that makes this relationship so incredibly fascinating to Krishna is that, you know, they exhibit or display the symptoms of being Krishna's girlfriends, and therefore they sometimes, you know, that female-male psychology that sometimes goes on, that everybody writes about in the material world, and everybody makes movies about and writes poems about and all those, and even jokes about, you know. The pure form of that is going on in Goloka Vrindavan. And again, not to be imitated, because there is no material attraction between Krishna and the gopis. There's no material attraction. There's no material lust. There's absolutely no desire on the part of anyone in that situation to gratify their own senses by being with that, with the other person, persons. This is an extremely elevated state and cannot in any way be imitated, and therefore those of us who are still conditioned by material nature should not dwell there. We need to understand, we need to hear, it's alright to hear, we will become purified by hearing about these things, but we should not dwell there. We should not dwell there until we're actually liberated from material nature, influence of material nature. So the thing that makes, you know, you can hear in the discussion now, in the conversation, Krishna is saying, "Oh, mistress of my soul, why don't you speak to me?" She's standing there, the statue, she's not saying anything. So he's saying, "Why don't you speak to me? Now we've met, finally, in this secret place, because this is Parakeya. Parakeya means they can't have the relationship in public, in front of parents and, you know, elders and in the social, because the Vedic culture is very strict, even in Braj. Another point, that sometimes devotees think they will come and live in Braj, and then they have become, automatically, because they live in Braj now, they've transcended, you know, religious principles, or regulatory principles, or the strict Vaidhi principles that regulate social life, and they do whatever they want. Think whatever they want, say whatever they want, do whatever they want. And they think that this is making them, you know, eligible or to enter into Braj, or that they've gotten there, and they are in Braj, and this is how the Brajbasis act, but this is not true. Therefore, you'll find that the tendency in the Sahaja camp is that they don't read books very much. They don't read books. Their point of view is, anyway, the books are for neophytes. We are actually doing them. We are actually living it. So we don't need the books. But reality is that they don't read the books, because if they read the books, then they would realize what they were doing, that they were imitating and causing a disturbance in Krishna Lila. And they would have to give it up. They would not be able to justify what they're doing. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who, you know, lives in Braj is, you know, who's following in the footsteps of the residents of Braja Sahajas. No, there are bona fide devotees, and they do read books. You'll find that persons who are actually on this platform, like for instance, here, you know, it's described that, you know, Krishna is talking to Radharani in a certain way. Now we're in a secret place. Why are you not talking to me? It's acknowledging the Vedic system, actually. It's acknowledging that the Vedic system is in place in Braj. Actually, it is the source of those social, you know, arrangements that keep, you know, order in social dealings and in social life. We are all social beings. And in our interactions, you know, there are different principles that we're supposed to act by, according to, with different people, according to the relationships we have with them, in family and in society, and even individual relationships. So it's not that, you know, when you become liberated and you enter Braj, that you know, you cast caution to the wind and you can do and say anything, and regulative principles are, you know, for somebody else. No. The Brajbasi is very strict about this. As are all the devotees in Krishna's dhams. You remember when it came time for Krishna to kidnap Rukmini, she sent a note to him, right? And in that note she said, you know, I'm yours, you know that, you know, you have to come and rescue me, so you have to kidnap me. But then how did she organize it? She's very intelligent. Chakya lady, very intelligent, princess, you know. She said, you know, we're going to be doing Durga Puja at this time. I'll be here to, from here to here at this time. So because there was such regulation in the Vedic culture, she was able to tell him exactly where to be, when to be, in order for him to execute this mission of kidnapping her. You see? So it may be that Krishna is doing something, you know, transcendental or spontaneous or whatever. From his transcendental position, he can do whatever he wants, not like us. But even within that role, Krishna agrees voluntarily to follow the structure and the Vedic principles. I've said this before in recent lectures, and I'll repeat the verses again just for our edification from Bhagavad Gita, that yad yad acharite sheshtas tad tad eva tadojam yad pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. Krishna says to Arjuna, what the great persons do, common men follow. Name partas tikartavya trishu lokeshu kinchana nanavaptavya varta eva jikarmani. And therefore, I, even though I don't have any rules that I have to follow, even though I don't have any attachment to these things, still, varta eva jikarmani, I follow them. Why does he follow them? Yadi yaham nabhartaya jatu karmanyatandita mama bhartmanamartante manusha partasarvasha. Because everyone will follow me. If I don't act properly, everyone will follow me. And what will be the result? Utside yurime loka na karyam karmachedaham sankarasya chikartasam upahanyami mahabhajaha upahanyami means destroy. You know, all the religious principles and the order, the social order and structure will be destroyed if I don't follow. So I follow. So this creates a situation between him and the gopis in Parkya that makes the relationship very intense, because there are all kinds of social rules and regulations in the Vedic culture that prevent them from meeting. And the anticipation that comes into the heart when lovers cannot meet in that relationship becomes very strong. The attachment becomes very strong. The anticipation becomes very strong. And it becomes so strong, in fact, that it gives a taste. The taste that comes when devotees, you know, when they're on this level and they're feeling attached to one another in separation, the separation becomes so strong that even when they meet, that separation, that mood of separation is present at every moment during their meeting. Anyway, this creates a mood, a very intense loving exchange between Krishna and the gopis, and it is exalted by all the acharyas as being the most exalted way to worship Krishna. Why? Because it says here, how did I offend you? O omniscient one, you must know everything that happened today in my dream. The persons who are that attached to Krishna, they bring out, you know, everything from Krishna. They bring out all the qualities of the Supreme Personality Godhead. Their attachment to Krishna in a certain way is what brings out all of Krishna's qualities. Therefore it is said that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He never takes a step out of Vrindavan, because when he goes other places, he goes in his expansion. And those expansions do not exhibit all of the features of the original Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, Shyam Sundar, in Vrindavan. Because the love of the devotees is not so intense as it is in a way in Braj, spontaneous, and it doesn't bring out those things in the devotees, and therefore the atmosphere is different. Now, the transcendentalists, the acharyas, they analyze these things and come to the conclusion that, you know, Braj is the highest atmosphere in this relationship, and Mudriya Rasa is the highest atmosphere. But that doesn't mean that any the personalities who are in different rasas and different places are thinking like that. They think that their own place and that their own relationship with Krishna is the best. And that allows them to render their service to Krishna with full enthusiasm. So the acharyas describe that this means that when we're talking in a comparison of Dwarka to Mathura to Vrindavan, we're talking about the difference between perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. There is no imperfection in Goloka Vrindavan. There can be no imperfection in any of the relationships that Krishna has with his devotees, in any of his dhams, particularly in Goloka Vrindavan. So due to this, Krishna actually becomes controlled by the love of certain persons, especially Radharani and certain gopis and Nanda and Yashoda, especially. He becomes controlled by them. He becomes their servant. You know, we have this idea of love of God in the material world, where God is the great and we are the small, and He is our order supplier, so we're always praying for something. Please give me this, give me that, give me this, do this, do that, do this, do that. Like a child to a father, or, you know, a subordinate to a superior person. But this is not so satisfying. This is not very satisfying. The thing that is most satisfying is when the relationship becomes equal, and even more satisfying, when the person exhibits control over the beloved by the intense attachment that they both feel for one another. So, you know, Krishna said something to Yashoda about the dream he had in order to justify, because she's his mother, and he has to, you know, justify how come he got up late. But now he's with Radharani, it's a different. Now it's different. Now he's saying, anyway, you're not talking to me. You must know what I dreamed about this morning. You know, because in the dream, you know, he went there, he married other people, he fathered children, he did so many things, and, you know, she must be feeling upset. So he's like trying to say things and do things to, you know, pacify her.
Astutava idhanim tad gamyate tvadayatmane santoshate patoshebhya mayatvam modayushase.
Anyway, right now I have to go to the forest. Tonight at dusk, O bestower of satisfaction, you will enjoy with me. Text 45. Shri Prikshidu Vacha Itam sapushpa vikshepam vadan drishtva dishokilaha tam sachumbana malingya gogopai sangato vitaha. Shri Prikshit continued, having said this, Krishna threw a handful of flowers at Sri Radha, looked all around, and then embraced and kissed her. He then went ahead to meet his cows and cowherd boys. So this is the culmination, the meeting, after the feelings of separation. There are these exchanges of love. This is sambhog. There's a relationship between piparlamba, which is the feeling of separation, and the sambhog, which is the meeting. And in the meeting, there are exchanges of love in the various relationships that Krishna has. In this particular relationship, in the Parkhya Bhava especially, then there's the stealing of kisses and embraces and things like that that go on between Krishna and Radharani and the gopis. So that's why Krishna's looking all around, to make sure that nobody's looking. So this is what gives the charm and the intensity of this Parkhya Rasa. This is why our acharyas have concluded that the Adiras is Madhurya. The reason it's called Adiras is because the qualities and characteristics and tastes that are included in Madhurya Ras, all the other rasas are contained within it. There's an example given in the Srimad Bhagavatam that just as the material creation is created from subtle to gross, and in each of the grosser elements, the qualities of the more subtle element are included. Like sound, ether contains sound. And the air contains feeling, touch, sense of touch. So the air has both sound and touch. And then fire has form. You can see fire, you can touch fire, you can feel fire, but you can't see ether, you can't see mind. So each element, as it becomes growth, as it transforms to a grosser element, contains the qualities of the more subtle elements. So earth, finally, has smell, taste, sound, touch, it has everything. So like that, the Madhurya Ras is considered, is analyzed by the Acharyas to be the most exalted because it contains all of the elements of the other rasas. And more. So this creates an extremely attractive atmosphere. So attractive that now we're going to find out just how attractive it is. Adrishta purvam brajabesham adbhutam mahamanogyam murali rabhanvitam yathanvabhut snehabarena devaki tadaiva vidyam ajanis snutastani. As Devaki saw for the first time how wonderfully and all attractively Krishna was dressed for Braj, and how he was playing his flute, milk started flowing from her breasts in great love, even though she was no longer young. Commentary. Krishna has special ecstatic feelings for his devotees, as described in the previous several verses. This is the ultimate greatness of God. Reciprocally, Krishna's devotees have incomparable affection for him, which they each show in their own individual way. So this is interesting. This means that the ultimate opulence is in the exchange of relationship of love with Krishna. Opulence is not to be found in how much you accumulate, or the position you have, or how much you know, how beautiful you are. All these things cannot satisfy the heart, cannot satisfy the soul. The real treasure house are the ecstatic feelings that one has when one is pure in heart and comes in contact with Krishna, or is in separation from Krishna, and is absorbed in loving devotional service. And this is the ultimate measure of the greatness of God. Therefore, it is very difficult to understand. Impossible for those conditioned by material nature. Therefore, it's locked. These secrets are locked. These are the esoteric truths. And therefore, in every religion, you'll see throughout history that as the religion develops into bigger and bigger and bigger thing, the persons who are into this, tasting the personal relationship with Krishna, are the ones that come to become the mystics or the esoterics of their traditions. And they're always very small in number in relationship to the whole, the followers of that religion or follower of that. So this is no exception. So each individual devotee ultimately when one's full affection comes out for Krishna, then one knows how to act. One knows how to deal, not only with Krishna, but with all of Krishna's devotees in the proper way. And this is why Lord Brahma arranged for only Rohini to go there. Now we're seeing, because Devaki is seeing this for the first time. Devaki's never seen Krishna dressed up for the forest, going out to the forest and interacting with Radharani and the gopis like this, and she's just overwhelmed. And even though she's an old lady, the milk is coming from her breast, she can't help herself. She's just overwhelmed by ecstatic feelings. So in this way, there's no envy in the spiritual world. It's not that the residents of Dwarka, you know, are envying Krishna and the residents of Braj. No, they appreciate, they worship Srimati Radharani and the gopis and the Brajvasis. And when they get together, sometimes they do get together. In Kurukshetra they got together. They get together at different times in different places, within Braj and outside of Braj, even after Krishna leaves for Vrindavan. But they don't envy of one another. If somebody is in a higher position, that makes them feel very good. In the material world, when someone is in a higher position, because we're envious, we don't feel good. When we see someone doing well, when we see someone in a higher position, when we see someone more superior to us, then we feel bad. And we want to take that person's position, or we want to bring that person down so that they'll no longer be nice. These things have to be completely removed from the heart in order to be able to enter into these understandings and taste these things, and then apply these things into our lives, into our own dealings with one another. The heart has to become pure and free from lust and greed, anger and envy and pride and avarice and all these inauspicious qualities, all these material qualities by which we've all been conditioned from so many lifetimes we don't even know. So the purpose of these pastimes is different for different people, for different devotees. In the beginning, the purpose of the pastime is to purify our hearts by hearing. When we're in that stage, we shouldn't dwell there, but we should appreciate. We should hear and we should appreciate. Not that we dwell there and try to force our way into Braj by, you know, meditating specifically all the time on one particular relationship where we haven't the foggiest idea who we are. Rather, we should hear these pastimes with deep appreciation and become purified by them. And strictly follow the rules and regulations according to the position that we have in life. And hanker. Cultivate the hankering. Cultivate the hope. Ashabandhu it's called. Rupa Goswami calls it Ashabandhu. Cultivate the hope that in some day in the future I can have this. Not that now I have it. No. Now I have it, I can give it to you. Come to me. No, no. No bona fide devotee thinks like that, or talks like that, or is like that. Okay. Hare Krishna. We'll stop there. Comments, questions? Okay, Hare Krishna. Jess?
When we try to understand who I am in spiritual world, should I hear my heart
You should not try to understand who you are in the spiritual world. That was the whole point of the class. If you try to understand who you are in the spiritual world, that is not the process. The process is to hear submissively. The active principle for advancing in spiritual life is submissive oral reception. So first of all, you have to surrender. If you're to the point still where you can't hear from anybody else, and you want always to be independent, and always do what you want to do when you want to do it, when someone tries to impose some discipline, it becomes hot inside. Then you should not even think about trying to figure out who you are in the spiritual world. Rather, you should find the authority whom you have faith in that you can submit to and submit. And then, under that direction, under that guidance, hear submissively the pastimes. And as you hear submissively the pastimes, then automatically, if you're doing it properly, then with time and purification, then certain pastimes will attract you more than others. And gradually, gradually, you'll be attracted to certain personalities. And gradually, gradually, you'll be led from within your heart and from outside, to that position. But it's not, the approach is not to try to figure it out or not to try to go. No, it's not that it says that the gopis are most exalted and whatever you think about at the time of death, you'll become. So therefore, I'm going to think always about the gopis and therefore I'll become a gopi. This is a mistake that's been made innumerable times, even in our movement. In 1975, when a group of devotees started reading Chaitanya Charitamrita in this way, that we just want to hear about the gopis, we don't want to hear about anything. And then when Prabhupada called them on it, they came in front of Prabhupada. What did they do? They argued with Prabhupada. And it was so bizarre that they would argue with Prabhupada out of his own books. But Prabhupada, you said, here you said we should do, you know, he like hit the roof. He got so upset. He said, finally, at the end of the day, he said, you're more advanced. You go and start your own thing. Because they could not hear from their spiritual master. They could not submit. Their minds could not submit. They could not understand. So the process is not to try to figure out who you are in the spiritual world. The process is to try to find out who you are right now, just how fallen you are right now, and what you need to do to become relieved from the intense suffering that you're going through, and the intense conditioning that you're confined by, that's preventing you from knowing who you are. And then act properly. Act properly, submit, serve properly, in the right mood, not begrudgingly. And by that process, you please your spiritual master, you please the devotees, you please the Vaishnavas, and ultimately you'll please everyone with the way you are. And then everything will come to you. Everything will come to you automatically. It's not that you have to fight and struggle and draw bridges and fortresses around yourself in order to protect yourself from this and that and the other thing. The whole Maya will serve you. Even Maya will serve you. And then you'll be protected. Then you can find out who you are. Hare Krishna. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Bhagavatamata ki jai. Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada.